as we all knew, the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on this kind of a day 2,000 years ago. And today, in our churches, okay, we call sacrament, Tamilla sacrament, okay. What is sacrament? A religious sign or symbol, specially associated with Christian churches, in which a sacred or spiritual power is believed to be transmitted through material elements. Today, you're going to have wafer and juice. We believe that the spiritual power or the sacred power is going to be transmitted through that material element. Okay, sacrament, sacred means holy. Saint Augustine, one of the early church fathers, he said sacrament as the visible form of an invisible grace. Okay, the visible form of an invisible grace. As we partake in the Holy Communion in few minutes, what we are going to do is, we are going to receive the wafer or the bread, and we are going to receive the juice or the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is going to happen is, we are going to receive His divine grace, unlimited grace, unconditional grace. We all knew that baptism, and some people call this as Lord's Supper, some people call as communion, some people even call this as Eucharist. Tamilla kuda neenga paathinga appadina thiruvirundu narkarunai prabhojanam kartarin pandi. So people call it differently, but these are the two sacraments, okay, common sacraments people followed from first century, right after Jesus instituted this one or initiated this one. This has been followed by Christians from century 1 to this day. And we are part of the big history. Maybe we don't see Peter, John and other disciples here, but we are His disciples. And we don't see Jesus here physically, but we know that two or three are gathered in His name, who is in our midst. Yeah, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I will quickly finish this sermon, okay? I'm not going to take more time because I know tomorrow you got to listen to 9 sermons. 7 plus 2. 7 plus 2. Okay, so I know, okay? So I'm not going to take a lot of time. So, these two sacraments. And over the centuries, the church leaders made it 7, okay, 7 sacraments. Like, for example, baptism, confirmation, this Holy Communion. And in Roman Catholic churches, they also still have this sacrament, penance, confession of sins. And then they also have this one, okay, but we don't follow that. Unction, they call unction because anointing oil on the sick, especially on the dying. But these sacraments are not followed, okay? And then some orders, ordination, bishop ordination, priest ordination, things like that. And then matrimony, holy matrimony. At least among the seven, we follow five, and of this is most important for us today. Holy Communion. Communion means coming together as body of Christ, as believers, as those who believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, those who believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and He got resurrected. When you come to the communion, okay, we declare unity. Do you know why? Because Jesus, if you read, we all read, okay, John's Gospel. On this particular moment, he gave a new commandment. Do you know what's the new commandment? Love one another. That's the new commandment He gave on this particular occasion. So, Holy Communion means you are coming together as body of Christ and you are showing to the world that you love one another. There is neither rich nor poor, neither Jew nor Gentile. Everybody is equal at the table of Jesus. Unity, oneness. That's why we have to make sure that our relationship with one another is fixed before we come to the table. And Lord's Supper, okay, some people they call it as Lord's Supper. It is not ours, it is Lord's. Even the Lord's Supper gives us the clear meaning. The Lord is the host. Who we are then? We are guests. The Lord is the host and we are simply guests. From even, okay, in the Old Testament period, okay, this is going further back, okay. The Lord said to the Israelites, this day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. Here, the Lord refers to the Passover. Okay? This has to be celebrated throughout your generations. See, you just go back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. God said, especially to the people of Israel, 4,000, 2,000, more than 6,000 years, okay, this has been carried out by generations, and that's why we are here. And even during this Passover time only, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. During Passover, a lamb will be sacrificed. But during this time, Jesus Himself as a lamb offered as a living sacrifice so that we will have life. We will have life in abundance. There is no need for a lamb to be sacrificed because Jesus Himself sacrificed on our behalf. But He said, do this in remembrance of me. So whenever you come to the table to participate in the Holy Communion, you are doing this in remembrance of Him. There is no need for a lamb to be sacrificed. There is no need for another person to be sacrificed. Now Jesus paid it all. Jesus sacrificed His life for everyone who is sitting here. including myself. Jesus wants us to do this in remembrance of his death and of his resurrection too, because that gives us hope. His death, it gives hope, but the resurrection gives us hope. Here, in this context, okay, he not only gives a new commandment to love one another, he also gives a new covenant, okay? God has redeemed his people from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. That was the whole covenant, Passover lamb. God is redeeming his people through his blood, that is new covenant. That's why Jesus said, and he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." New covenant in my blood. With this as a background, I just want to close this with only one thought for this day. That is, remembering God's propitiation. Remembering God's death or God's sacrifice. God's atoning sacrifice. Remembering God's redemptive work on the cross. "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." When we remember Christ's death on behalf of us, we receive repentance. There is reconciliation and there is renewal. Repentance. Return to the Father. Return not with empty mouth. Open your mouth and confess your sins. He's there to forgive each and every one of us. There is repentance and there is reconciliation and there is renewal. As we will be participating in the Lord's Communion or the Lord's Supper, Jesus invites each and every one of us. He is the host and we are guests. He's inviting us. And when he invites us to remember, he wants us to come by humbling ourselves, confessing our weaknesses, our frailties, our sins. And also, God wants us to make sure that we love one another. That's why reconciliation happens at the table. If you have anything against your brother or sister, first go and reconcile. Then come to the table. And then the last one is renewal. Because the spiritual power is transmitted through some material things. Because the spiritual power is transmitted, we are renewed by his body and his blood. This is what Jesus did on this particular occasion. And we are so privileged and blessed to come and remember that. As I prayed, maybe you would have noticed, we have confidence. Okay? We don't have to mourn, we don't have to weep, we don't have to, make ourselves sorrowful, full of sorrow and despair. Because we have hope. In another few days, 3 days, we are going to celebrate Easter. But just think about Jesus. When He set this table, He knew Peter would deny Him. He knew Judas will betray Him. And He knew all His disciples will desert Him. And He will go to Gethsemane and He will pray. His prayers will not be answered. In the Patram, என்னை விட்டு நீங்க கூடுமானால் நீங்கும்படி செய்யும், ஆயினும் என்னுடைய சித்தத்தின்படி அல்ல உம்முடைய சித்தத்தின்படி ஆகக்கடவது. Do you think his prayers was answered? Yes, it was answered because he prayed. He just committed to Father's will. But deep inside his heart, he did not want to go through this path because of the physical pain. Yet, he instituted this. And then the next day he cried. I don't know who is going to preach on that. My Lord, why have you forsaken? So he knew that the Father God will forsake him. And he will die. But still, for the sake of all of us, he instituted that. But we are able to participate with new hope. Because we are going to be receiving His presence through these material things. We are going to receive His power through these material things. Let us pray. Let's take a minute or 2 minutes of silence. Let's pause for a while. Let's remember new commandment, loving one another. This is the message on Maundy Thursday. Are we loving one another? And he introduced a new covenant. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb. Jesus Himself as the lamb sacrificed for all our sins. Let us come back to Him. He went through this process with lots of pain. We don't have to carry those pain because He is alive. But as we remember, let's come to Him because He offers repentance. We don't have to pay for it. It is free. Jesus offers repentance. Jesus offers reconciliation. Jesus offers renewal.